I'll be dealing with the anointing of scars. Say with me, the anointing of scars. Hey, there is an anointing. A special anointing that is demonstrated through scars. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. Are you still here? 43 verse 2. The Bible reads, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overthrow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Nor shall the flame scorch you. Now the biggest question is, why if God says when you walk through the waters, he says what? The waters, they will not overthrow you. When you walk through the fire, it won't burn you. The biggest question is, then why is God allowing you to go through the fire? Now the biggest question must be, why then does God allow you to go through the fire? Why would he allow you to go through the waters? Now we hear the promise, God saying, when you go through them, I will be with you. But the question is, you're a great God. Why can't you just protect me? If you would want to understand the rationale, what is the rationale of God saying, I am going to be with you? What's the reasoning? What's the purpose? So God is promising you of being with you, and God is promising you of protecting you in the fire. But he is not promising you that there won't be the fire. And God isn't promising you that there won't be the rivers. He says the rivers will be there, the fires will be there, but when you are in those situations, nothing will happen to you. If you have a neighbor, tell that neighbor, tell them that this water will not overthrow me. And this fire will not burn me. I can walk through it. Yes, I'm passing through it right now. But I can promise you, I will walk out safe. Say with me, the fire will not burn me. But God isn't promising they want to be the fire. So we have a lot of people who actually ask themselves questions to say, why am I passing through what I'm passing through? Why am I going through what I'm going through? But the Bible is explaining a particular anointing, that when you are in the situation, there is an anointing in that situation, speaking, protecting, preserving, and that anointing makes sure that you are safe. Now, I want us to read again the very same verse. Now, I want us to read together louder. 1, 2, 3, go read.
When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt, nor shall the flame scorch you.
Do you hear that? So God is saying what? There is a certain anointing that he wants to give people. On this scripture, it wasn't saying that when you walk through the fire, I was with you. No, he said, I will be. Did you hear that? It's a future word. Meaning to say that this will begin to happen at the time of an arrangement we are agreeing. So God is saying, from this moment we are making this agreement. From this moment now, when this will happen, nothing will happen to you. Now God is releasing a particular anointing, that any scar that you're going to have, nothing will happen. Even if something bad happened to you, God says, I speak this to you. Nothing is going to consume you. Nothing. People will see people singing songs against you. People shouting that you are falling. People saying you are finishing. But after they sing a song, they will see you on top. Somebody shout with me, I receive the anointing. Say it again. I receive the anointing. Now, let me just show you a very important aspect. Let's go to the book of Colossians. And we are going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses from 8 to 9. And now we want to read this scripture together. Okay? 1, 2, 3, go, let's read.
We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed.
Now go back to verse 8. I'm going to read from a New Living Translation. It says what?
We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed.
Are you just seeing what Apostle Paul is saying here? He says there are moments when we are knocked down. And when people say she's finished, have you seen her now? Things stopped moving. My friend, it's a strategy. We are given the anointing of resilience. Oh, you're not getting, I'm trying to talk to you. People say, look at that guy now. He's finished. I used to be a guy. That man, things used to move. They do not understand something. That we carry anointing. That even if we are broken, we stand up. Even if we fall, we rise. Even if people say, she's finished, that's when we are starting. Somebody shout, I have the anointing. Shout again, I have the anointing. When the enemy says, I have finished this woman with a disease, he is joking. Somebody shout, he is joking. Now, from what we see in the scripture, from the book of Isaiah, though you walk through the waters, they will not overthrow you. Though you walk through the fire, they will not burn you. And Apostle Paul confirms, he says, we are pressed in every direction. Every side we are what? We are pressed. Financially, things are not moving. You go in this direction, this business, nothing is moving. You go this direction, you owe somebody. You owe the bank. Every direction you are pressed. And the Bible says, yet we are not what? Crushed. Haven't you asked yourself a question of why? You've been following this ministry for a long time. You have bills above your age. But here you are. It is not just a happening. This is an anointing, sir. Look at how many problems have come around you. But see where you are today. You are still moving. The same anointing will carry you above. Am I speaking to somebody? Last year, a time like this, you are so confused. You didn't even know, well, how would I pay rent? How would this happen? How would this take place? And now we are in 2026. Say, I'm pressed every direction, but not crushed. Say, persecuted, but not abandoned. Let me say something to you that is very important. The devil fears a person who has survived the worst. If he threw worst attacks over your life and you jumped to them, he says, how? Are you here? Tonight, I want to say something to you. Tonight, I want you to understand something, that in that trouble that the enemy has tried to put you in, tonight you're jumping out. Can I go ahead? Now, I love scripture tonight, so we're going to have more scriptures. In Psalms 18, verses 32 to 34, can you read it?
It is God who arms me with his strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war, and so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze.
Wait a minute. So here is the thing. Let me give an example. Okay, let me call my beautiful wife. Now, get this, all right? So, scripture says from verse 32, it says what? God, it is him who what?
Who arms me with his strength.
Now, I need your attention. God who what? Arms. Now, to arm means that she has no weapons. But then I come and I begin to arm her with what? With the weapons. Now, she is facing a situation that she cannot handle. Are you there?
Yes.
Then God begins to arm her. And scripture says strength. Now, the strength of the spirit, it is known as the anointing. Now imagine that David says, it is God who arms me. He does not say with a spear. He does not say with a bow. He says with what? With strength. Now, I want you to see something here that is very important. I know some of you right now are facing critical moments and situations. And some of you are actually depending to say, if that man can help me, if that woman, if I can meet that person to help me, you are wrong. Because scripture says, blessed is the person who does not put their trust upon a man, but his trust is upon the Lord. I know you have somebody you are depending on right now, but trust you me, that person is just an option. God can use another person. That door is just an option. God can open another opportunity. Am I speaking to somebody? The moment you have got a fixed door that you actually put your mind upon and you say, that's the only thing I'm looking upon, that's the only thing, you become legit to what you are seeing, and God may have another door that he wants to open, in fact, better and bigger than what you are seeing, and you can actually miss it because your thinking is fixed. And God does not work with the fixed systems and thinkings. Can you imagine King Saul? He was used, that God was giving him victories through the sword. Wherever King Saul went to fight the battles, the Bible says, and God gave King Saul victory, that he defeated his enemies because he was using what? A sword. And when Goliath showed up, sword could not work on Goliath. The man was covered with metal. And now he's used with a fixed system of using swords. And the man was stranded. This is why some people today, they are stranded because their systems and thinkings are fixed. And God says, do not be fixed because I can do another thing. I can open another chapter. Now, when you depend on what you think or what you know, this is what happens. So you get stranded with what you know and with what you think. But here King David doesn't just say, I depend on a sword. He says, I depend on the anointing. He says, God gives me the ability. He gives me strength when I see the adversary. He says, he equips me with the strength and he sets me high above. Am I talking to somebody right here? So what God gives you, what we were looking for right now is the anointing. I don't care whether the process you know it or you don't know it. But when the anointing comes upon you, in that trouble, in that situation, in those wounds of yours, in the scars that you carry, when the anointing comes upon you, something supernatural is going to happen. Whether it's the same door you are thinking, it's going to open. Whether it's another opportunity, it's going to open. Somebody shout, I receive the anointing. So God, now the problem we have is, someone will be looking for, I'm waiting for that to happen. I'm waiting for that to happen. So King Saul was in a tent for over a month thinking to say that who can kill him? And all his trust was on a sword. And when David showed up, he said, David, take my sword. David, take my armor. Because his thinking was into the armor. His thinking was in the sword. And David says, this battle is different. I have killed a bear before and I used my hands. But this time around, I'm going to use a stone. Because God is not using the same formula. God is speaking to me tonight. He's about to show up in your life, but he'll use a new system. He will use a different formula. Someone you never thought about, he's going to come through. Something you never prayed for, it will be done. A new chapter will open. Somebody shout, I receive the anointing. Now, I want to show you a very important aspect. There's an anointing of scars. When you are in a scar, when you're having a scar, when you are in scars, when you are bleeding, when you have got wounds, God shows up. And most times, God does not show up by people who have got ability and capacity. I have seen people lose destinies because they despised someone who had nothing. Wait, let me repeat. I have seen people losing what? Destinies, because they despised a person who had nothing. They said, ah, this one can't help me. Mostly, God being God, he always saves people who have nothing so that he can use them in your life, so you can know it's not the man, it's the hand of God. Am I talking to somebody here? When David showed up, he didn't show up with a sword. And there's a man who killed Goliath. Wait, are you not ready for what I'm about to tell you right now? You not ready? What I'm about to tell you right now. Do you know the story of Joseph? Joseph was in prison. Listen to me. Sometimes forget about people with the money. Like, oh, if I can get a connection with that person. Your thinking is so fixed that you do not know the formulas of God. Sometimes God can just package someone who has no money, who has nothing, but he can send that person next to you, and that person can connect you to an opportunity you never thought about. That person can become a doorkeeper. He can open a door for you to a place you never thought you can actually reach. Do not play around with the doings of God. Your mind must never be fixed, because God can use somebody you never expected. Joseph, when he was in prison, hear this. When Joseph was in prison, I want you to hear this. Joseph is in prison. He might have prayed, he might have fasted, I want to walk out. God never sent a billionaire. God never sent a king. It's not a king who took him out. Wait. It was a Pharaoh prisoner. The man never had money. It was a Pharaoh prisoner. God sent a prisoner. Do you know who took Joseph out of prison? It was a prisoner. It is a prisoner. All he had to do was to speak about Joseph. When this prisoner was out of prison, he had an opportunity to be at the palace one day. And at the palace, this man began to speak about. Are you hearing me? This man was not a billionaire. This is the man that God used. God can use somebody you never actually thought. There are opportunities you have missed because you were so blind that certain people you pushed them away, certain people you kicked them away because you thought they had nothing. Your thinking so fixed that when you saw a rich person or someone who had a capacity that you actually thought that's the breakthrough. God can use anyone. Do you understand how David found himself in the palace? It was not a billionaire's connection. The Bible says one of the workers in the palace, a slave in the palace, he's the one who spoke about David. He said, there is a man, a son of Jesse. His name is David. This man can qualify to take this position as the director of music in the palace. There was no application. There was nothing. And David became a director of music, playing music for King Saul without application. Just a poor man. Someone working in the palace opened the door for the man. There are people that God told me, I will open them. I will package them. They'll come. Some of them will come like nobodies. But I promise you, these people will be very important. There are certain connections that will begin to happen that you will not understand. Stop being fixed in how you think. God has a billion ways to put you on top. God has a million ways to put you on top. With David, he used somebody he never knew. Somebody who was a slave in the palace. With Joseph, he used a fellow prisoner. I'm speaking to somebody right now. You are about to experience something you've never thought about. You are about to see a door you never knocked. An opportunity you never thought about. Your mind will be shocked. God is going to open a new chapter. God is going to open a new door. Stop thinking in fixed thinkings. A new way is happening. It is not only the door you have been praying for. A new door is opening right now. Somebody shout, I receive in the name of Jesus. I prophesy to everyone. Anyone else, whoever you are. Believe this. Believe this. Believe this. Someone will locate you. My God, my God, my God. I remember I prayed for a man who had applied for a job 2 years ago. And the man was not being picked. Are you hearing me? In Rustenburg, at Sparkling Waters, the man was not being picked. So the man came at my hotel. We had a partners program in the tent. And the man testified in the tent. This man came and I told him, I said, your application is sitting at a table. I said, do you believe that that application can be released? He said, yes, my father, but they already picked the people. They even went for interviews. Some of you are going to remember this testimony. And I said, if I be a prophet, even if your name is not there, I said, your name, in fact, was supposed to be there, but there was a demonic interference. And I said, now there'll be prophetic interference. You didn't hear me. I said, there'll be what? Prophetic interference. And I said, I speak as a prophet. Let your documents be seen. Lo and behold, the following day, the man working in the same office went to the boss and said, boss, there is this email you never attended to. This man looks like he has got more qualifications than the people we actually interviewed. They called the man. The man went to the interviews. When he was walking out, the man who told the boss rushed to him and he said, hello, sir. He said, you know what happened? You must be praying. Do you pray? Where do you go to pray? Which church do you go? He said, do you know that your email was not actually attended to? It is me who told the boss. And the people were already picked. The man said, I'm aware that people were already picked for interviews. As he was still there waiting, they called him back into the office. They said, no need for interviews. We have picked you. I prophesy to you. Unusual happenings will take place. Unusual happenings will happen. Unusual happenings will take place. Receive in the name of Jesus. I say, receive in the name of Jesus. I speak prophetic intervention. God is going to do something. A strategy. God, listen. Don't rely on your fixed system. And some of you, God will not send a person. God will send an idea. God will send an idea, a strategy. It's like a person who borrows money from a friend. Do you know a lot of relationships, they break, they end because of borrowing money from a friend? The moment you borrow money from a friend, immediately, that person doesn't look at you the same. Mm-hmm. They look at you as a responsibility. You may be chatting, but he's thinking, when is he giving back my money? At the very same time, even if that person is not thinking about that, you, when you look at him, you begin to think, he wants his money. That's why borrowing is not wrong. But you must borrow with a strategy. Otherwise, so many people borrow just with hope. But hope alone is not a strategy. Listen to me. If God gives you an idea, you have reached at a certain level spiritually. May God give you an idea. I said, may God give you an idea. Do you know how? You know the story of Boaz? Do you know his wife? Who was his wife? It was Ruth, right? Sometimes God will not just give you a miracle, but an idea. Do you know that what God gave Ruth was an idea? Naomi said, go in the field. And when you go in the field, what should you do? Huh? Definitely explain these people. It's a crops. What happened with the crops? What was the strategy? Before that, what was she taught? She was told, when you go there, join the work. And when you join the work, when he is tired, sleep on his feet. There was no connection to say, oh, there is someone who knows him. I can connect you to this person, and this person will speak for you. Pure strategy. Sometimes it's just a strategy. Because culturally and traditionally, women are supposed to propose. If women were, if they would say now, that let's reverse things, women should say, will you marry me? Jesus Christ. That's why God left it the way things are. I promise you, you women, thank God where you are. If they're the most, if there are people who sometimes are the most confused, are women. No, I'm saying the truth. Ask them how many friends they can change. Now you can imagine if they were men. They'll be like, oh, that one. Ah, they'll be sitting like this and start gossiping. Did you see? You see the hair? She's copying you now. But God said, no, it must be the man. Because, you know, God blessed women with emotions. They're very emotional. And the emotions, when they are used good, they, you know, it becomes excellent because they've got emotions, so they know how to love, how to care. They know how to show you. They know how to appreciate you, you know. But when those emotions go to the south, now imagine, say, we have now changed responsibilities. Women should be the ones who must take care of the home. They must look for the money. They must do everything else. And in fact, they should be the one to look for a man for marriage. I promise you, they'll be like, I love you. 2 days, yeah, but I think I love you. What I'm trying to say to all of you, it's so simple. Are you here? Yes. Strategy. Say with me, strategy.
Strategy.
Strategy is very powerful. I have seen so many people when I'm praying for them. Only 3 people so far have ever said, pray for me to have a strategy. Everyone is just praying for a business to grow. But business does not grow with the prayer alone. Business doesn't grow with the prayer alone. That's why when people go to consult to prophets in the Bible, it's so different with how people consult nowadays in the New Testament, in our generation. People come to a prophet and say, I need a prayer for my business. In the Bible, people are saying, what should I do to a prophet? And the prophet says, oh, the donkeys you're looking for, they have already been found. So there's a huge difference. Because most people, all they're looking for is something must be done. Just miraculously, then the business begins to grow. You don't know structures. You don't even know systems. You don't even know about supply chain. Just want, I have a company. I want you to grow. It's not trees. You must understand this. Let me say this before I go to what I'm about to show you. If there is something tonight you should pray for a lot, is God give me strategy. God, give me what? Strategy. Strategy. Give me strategy. Strategy is a weapon. Once you know what to do, all the battles in the Bible, there was a strategy attached. So when you are seeing miracles in the Bible, don't just think they were happening. Even the wedding in Cana, there was a strategy. Jesus said, take water. Are you hearing me? He said, take it. Go and what? Give the master the banquet. I prophesy in the name of Jesus Christ. God will give you a strategy tonight. I fast for strategy. I pray for strategy. God, give me strategy. When people are praying, show me the way. What is the way? It's strategy. You have to know how to do it. Imagine somebody is praying right now and say, Lord, I believe God, open, I'll be a billionaire. And they have no company. They have no company. And they're believing God to be billionaires. No company. And some have a company. But they're not even starting to say, what is going on with the markets? You need a strategy. Can I repeat what I just said? You need what? So someone is chasing dreams. My dream is I want to become a pirate. Oh, my dream is I want to be doing this. That's a strategy. God is giving us an anointing where we will solve people's problems. And get paid for that. Imagine someone has a product that helps people who have lost hair to grow. And you are selling it. Definitely, there are people who want to recover their hair. You will make money by solving their problem. And they'll pay you. In other words, you found a problem, you are solving it, and you're being paid for it. But passion, you'll be forcing things. And my passion is to, I want to open this type of a shop. You will have a shop, people will just be passing it. Because according to the people in your area, that's not their problem. To never pray for strategy. So I receive in the name of Jesus. Say, so I receive the strategy. One day try it, fast, and ask God, give me a strategy. How must I handle my business? How must I handle my customers? Lord, give me a strategy. How can I break through in this market? I am facing resistance. I have this business idea. But every time, not just complaining, every time like, oh, a thing's not moving. My business is not moving. Oh, customers are not there. You are doing that where other people are studying the markets and are moving forward. Pray one time, just fast, to say, God, give me an idea. How would I penetrate this volatile market? You will see results. Say amen. Amen. Now, let's go to the book of John. 20. Verse 26 to 28.
And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but be believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Have you ever thought about that Jesus Christ being God and that he is in the grave and that he resurrected? You must think everybody else that he must resurrect without his scars. But have you noticed that when he rose from the dead, he rose with his scars? Hello? Have you noticed that this Jesus we're talking about, when he died, everyone should think when he resurrects, the scars will heal. Everything will disappear. But scripture says they were still there. Because he knew there would be people for them to believe. They should see his story. God releases an anointing of scars. There are so many of you here, you have been through a lot of scars. You know, if you can explain to people, no one understands you because they were not there when you are facing what you are facing, or when you are facing what you are facing. There are things that, in fact, you are passing through a lot of problems right now, and the scars sometimes become so much that actually you are bleeding alone. But hear me, and I'm repeating what I said in the morning. The Lord spoke to me. He said, the reason why I allow scars to be upon my people, it is because I allow these scars to become point of references. The reason why God said, rivers, you walk through the rivers and they will not overthrow you, through the fires and they will not burn you, it is because God knows one day you will take the people to the river to say, this is a river I passed and I was not carried away. Because God understands one day you shall take people to the fire and he said, this is the fire. And when Daniel was put in the fire, when he walked out of the fire, the people who put him in the fire, they were put in the same fire. It became a point of reference when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would actually say, this is the fire that we survived. Look at your neighbor. If you have one, the fire that is burning will become a point of reference. The river I'm crossing will become the point of reference. The scars you are seeing around me will become a point of reference. People didn't understand why Jesus was being crucified. He was being crucified and nailed on the cross because one day he would have to show somebody those scars. And I'm saying this to you once again, that some of you, the things that are happening around you today, they will act as divine receipts. You shall show people, you shall say, this is the house I was living. This is how I used to live. This is what was happening around me. Am I talking to somebody right now? You shall show people how you suffered. The scars upon you. Jesus, he didn't argue with Thomas. Oh, what he did was, Thomas, come and touch the scars. And he said, my Lord and my God. He never said, my Lord and my God, until he saw the scars. There are people who will say God. There are people who will say Jesus when they will see what you have gone through and how you have survived. I prophesy this anointing. It will take you out of this difficulty. It will take you out of this mess. In the mighty name of Jesus. I know some people, they know about your shame. They know about how you are alone, you are lonely. They know how you've been believing God for marriage and nothing is happening. And sometimes you're like, all my friends are getting married and I'm all alone. Listen to me. God is allowing that scar to stay. Because when you are getting married, they'll come and they say, we know her story. We know her scars. We know how she was disappointed by different men and how she was dumped. They know all those receipts. And God allowed the receipt to stay because when you be getting married on that day, the whole city will be on standstill. If you think I'm joking, I prophesy you shall see this happening. Somebody say, I'm here. God is about to do something. And some of you, you are in financial stress. You don't even know what to do. To a level where your family members know. You know when your family members know that things are not good with you. It's not a good thing, eh? But as I'm speaking now, your family members, they actually know to say, she's struggling or he's struggling. God allows it to happen because it has to leave a scar. Say with me, I will take them to the river that I crossed. And I was wondering, how could God say, you shall go through the rivers? And guess what? One day, I was in Israel with some of you here. And we are taken to the river where Joshua crossed with the people of Israel, the Jordan River. When they stepped their feet on the edge of the river, the Bible said that the river split. And God said, you shall walk through the rivers and they will not overthrow you. Why? Because now people, they go to see. This is the river, the past. Am I speaking to somebody? You will show people that small car of yours. Say, this is the car I used to drive. You think I'm joking? That's the problem. There's an anointing. The scars. The pain you're having right now is, trust you me, trust you me. If the scars didn't matter, Jesus wouldn't have resurrected with them. But because they were supposed to be shown. Until now, in the book of Revelation, John says, I saw the Lamb of God looking as if he was slain. Even now, he still looks with the scars.